This is 89.1 WEMU, and I'd like to welcome you to another edition of Issues of the Environment. I'm David Fair, and today we're going to take you a bit off the beaten track. Now, we've all been to athletic events, business openings, birthdays, weddings, anniversaries, parades, in which a part of the celebration is to release balloons into the air. We all watch as they float up and away and eventually out of sight. But fact of the matter is, the remnants of those balloons eventually make it back to the ground, and it's a problem. My guest today is a master's student at the University of Michigan School for Environment and Sustainability. She recognized the environmental dangers posed by balloon debris and has created a tool to track the litter, collect data, and share the warnings of potential impacts. Lara O'Brien, thank you so much for the time today. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
First of all, what prompted you to become interested in and then select balloons as an area of research and activism?
I've always been interested in the environment and wildlife conservation, and I became interested in plastic pollution when I was doing research in the South Pacific. I actually got the chance to go to some of the low-lying atoll nations in the Pacific, and beyond just climate change and sea level rise, I was really shocked at the amount of plastic pollution that was also on these really remote islands. And I realized that it was a huge issue.
We've all seen pictures of the plastic in the oceans. We've all seen the animals that have washed ashore. And then during the course of autopsies, we reveal that what we are putting into the water, what we are putting into the air and land is ultimately being ingested by our wildlife.
Yes. And I also became interested because I had seen so many groups come together and celebrate weddings and memorials and birthdays. And they would release balloons as part of the celebration. And it just seemed really shocking to me that they wouldn't really consider what would happen when the balloons landed. And these balloons can travel thousands of miles. I actually read an article recently that there was a balloon released in England, and it traveled all the way to Australia, more than 10,500 miles away.
That's unbelievable.
So these balloons can travel great distances. So even if you're in the Midwest, these could land up in the ocean or anywhere in the lakes or other natural areas.
So as you chose to tackle this topic, how did you go about setting an agenda and process for collecting and disseminating information on balloon debris?
Yeah, I wanted to find a way to raise awareness and to gather data. So I came across this survey that I could use that people could put in their GPS coordinates. They could take a picture. And all of that data goes into an interactive map. And so you can actually visualize where these balloons are landing and just see how pervasive it really is.
How long has your project been underway at this point?
I actually started sharing the survey mid-June. So it's only been about 4 months. And since that time, I've already had about 1,500 pieces of balloon debris in the Great Lakes recorded.
Now, I assume that when you're taking on something as large as this, you have to partner with others in order to track and collect the data. So who is working with you to make sure that you are putting forth accurate information?
I've been working with some advisors at the department I'm in, but I've also been working with the Alliance for the Great Lakes and kind of supplementing their data. I think from 2016 to 2018, as part of their Adopt a Beach organization events, they've recorded 18,000 pieces of balloons in the Great Lakes. So my survey is kind of just supplementing their data.
Issues of the Environment continues on 89.1 WEMU, and we're talking with University of Michigan graduate student Lara O'Brien. Let's talk about the balloons themselves. There are all different kinds. They're made out of different materials. What are the material ingredients of balloons that are readily available in the consumer marketplace?
Yes, there's actually two types of balloons. There's Mylar and latex. And Mylar balloons are the ones that are made out of nylon with a metallic coating.
Right.
And these will never biodegrade. And these are actually the type of balloons that are responsible for all of the power outages. When people release these balloons, they can hit power lines and electrical circuit breakers. And there was actually an article just published a couple days ago that in 2018, Mylar balloons caused about 1,100 power outages in Southern California. So that is another issue with these.
There are some. The latex are marketed as biodegradable, right?
Yes.
But what is the shelf life on those once they hit the ground?
Well, that is the issue. But if they are completely natural latex, it is biodegradable, but it still takes years to break down. However, most of the latex balloons that we purchase are actually made of a synthetic rubber. And these are made from a petroleum derivative, neoprene, which is like the material used for scuba diving wetsuits.
There's a whole bunch of chemicals that goes into that too, right? So eventually those chemicals are going to be absorbed into the land and run off into the waters. Is that a correct assumption?
Yes. Yeah, these will never break down. So these will just remain in the environment, causing pollution, and are also a significant threat to wildlife.
And let's talk about that wildlife for a moment. Birds, woodland creatures, the fish in the waters. We do have empirical evidence, do we not, that balloons are having an adverse impact?
Yes. There was a recent report that came out of the University of Tasmania back in March that said that these latex balloons, these mylar balloons, are actually the deadliest form of marine debris. They're actually 32 times more likely to kill seabirds than hard plastics.
Is there something in this material that attracts wildlife so that they eat it, or is it just a byproduct of it's in the areas where they hunt and fish?
No, actually, these will, on every level, attract seabirds and turtles and other wildlife because they're brightly colored. They also pop and shred, and if they're on the surface of the water, they resemble jellyfish, squid, and they actually give off a chemical scent that seabirds associate with prey.
Attracted to, yeah. Our conversation on balloon debris and its impacts continues with University of Michigan graduate student Lara O'Brien on 89.1 WEMU's Issues of the Environment. I do want to talk alternatives and solutions. So, Lara, what do you suggest as an alternative when we have those birthday, anniversary, and graduation parties?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different eco-friendly alternatives out there. You can plant trees. You can spread wildflowers. You can fly kites. You can light candles. There's just a lot of other things that you can do instead of releasing a balloon. For example, when my grandfather passed away, we planted an oak tree, and that will remain for generations as a symbol of our memory for him.
Now, we do know that balloons are unlikely to entirely disappear from these kinds of events. So does it then become about containment, not releasing them into the air, and making sure we then properly dispose of them once the party's over?
Yes. But, I mean, that's another thing that you could do, is just be aware that if you release it, it does land up in the environment. But if you are responsible and you pop it and you dispose of it correctly.
It's still going to go in the landfill and create some leachate, though, potentially.
Yes.
What about legislation? I know there are some states that have at least some rudimentary policy on the books regarding balloons, but I don't believe Michigan's one of them. What would you like to see happen here and throughout the Great Lakes region?
That's my ultimate goal, is to raise awareness and to have policymakers take notice and actually introduce balloon release bans in the Great Lakes. 5 states have balloon release laws on the books. However, none of the Great Lakes states do at this moment. However, with this data, with the data collected from the Alliance for the Great Lakes, there's actually been a handful of policymakers from both Michigan and Illinois that have started to draft balloon release bans.
And is that ultimately what you would like to see, an outright ban on all balloon releases?
Yes, I would, actually, because every single one of these balloons will land in the environment and pose a threat to wildlife.
So you mentioned you really just kind of kicked off this project where you're tracking and you're creating visualized maps. What is next for the Balloons Project?
I actually will be graduating this coming spring, but I'm applying for a grant to keep working on this project for the next year or two. And just keep expanding on this. I've been focusing primarily on the Great Lakes at the moment, but I would like to expand to other parts of the country and actually other parts of the world as well, because this is a global threat, a global phenomenon.
Any chance that you might pursue a doctoral degree and carry on the research through academia?
It is possible. I have been considering it.
There's just, you know, the slight issue of money, right?
Yes. Yes, exactly.
I am aware of the challenge. Well, Lara, I wish you very well. And as new information comes forth, please let us know, okay?
All right. Well, thank you so much.
That is Lara O'Brien, a master's student at the University of Michigan School for Environment and Sustainability, discussing her research on balloon debris and the resulting environmental consequences, Issues of the Environment. It's produced in partnership with the Office of the Washtenaw County Water Resources Commissioner. I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU-HD1 Ypsilanti.